I'm going to do a little bit of a disclaimer here really quick before I start. I wrote it on the back of my notes instead of the nice printed stuff. I wrote my disclaimer on the back of my notes. And it says this. Yes, the church has rules, or if you'd rather call them standards of behavior for people that follow Christ. We have those. Some are in black and white in the Bible. If you have a red letter edition, some of them are actually in red. Because Jesus told us some things that we are supposed to do and some things that we're not supposed to do. Paul came up with his list later on as he was trying to help churches figure out how to become more like Christ. And some of the things are unwritten. Some of them are just things that maybe older and more mature followers of Christ have discovered that help them or hinder them in their walk with God. And if they share those things in love and compassion and at the right time, we should listen. Because the one thing that I believe God has done for us is, for one, He did set up some rules for us, and those rules are there to protect us. And we'll get into that here in just a second. But He also set up the elders of the church. And there are people in the church that are here to help and guide us. I can think of several older saints as I was growing up in my church that they would say some things to me. And I can remember at the time going, you know, whatever, you're old. That's for you. That's not for me. And then as I've gotten older, I see very much the wisdom in listening to them. And so I would challenge you, if somebody, again, there are some people that are going to be dogmatic and they're going to be, you need to do this or you need to do that, and or you need to stop, and not done in the right way, those kinds of things can be big hindrances to people who are trying to follow Jesus, especially if they haven't been following very long. So I want us to read a story today about somebody who was not following Jesus and had some people call her out. So stand with me this morning. We'll raise our Bibles and say our creed together. Say, this is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I will put its principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and at dawn He appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered and sat around Him. And He sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to her, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with His finger. When they kept on questioning Him, He straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, He stooped down and wrote in the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, then only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Let's pray. Father, I thank You for a story that shows compassion, it shows mercy, but it also shows how people can be terrible to each other, whether they're inside the church or out. Father, there are times when we think we are the sin police or those that should be telling people how to live their lives. Help us to understand that following You is more than just rules. It's about a relationship built on love. And the more we love you, the more we'll follow you. Help us to love you more and more every day. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now here's a story about a lady who was obviously not living her life the way that she should. She was caught in adultery. It's unclear at this point whether she was a prostitute or whether she was just someone who had stepped outside of her marriage, or maybe it was she was a prostitute having an affair or relations with somebody who was married. But the key is this, to me. These people, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, were bringing this woman and humiliating her in hopes of humiliating Christ, in hopes of tearing down His witness. And so their purpose was to magnify her sin to help them feel better about their own sin, if you will, because they were not as bad as she is, because she was actually caught in the act. And I don't know if it's always been this way, but it's been this way for quite a while for me. Every time I hear this story, I always go to the fact that it says this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, He commanded us to stone such a woman. Well, here's the problem with that. He didn't just condemn that act, and He didn't just say stone the women. He said stone the people, or the ones who are caught in the sin. And so when they caught her in the act, they grabbed her from the place and brought her to Jesus. If I were then Jesus, I probably would have said, where's the guy? Because if she was caught in the act, you had the chance to bring both of them, but you didn't. You just brought the woman, which is unfair and, again, humiliating for her. And then Jesus starts writing in the sand. And we don't know what He wrote in the sand. And we have really no clue. One of the guys I used to listen to, he was a funny comedian. He said that when Jesus bent down, He wrote the names of all the women the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had cheated on their wife with. So He's writing down the names, and the Bible says they all leave one by one. So Jesus, in His own way, could have possibly been exposing their sin. But at some point, He says, if you don't have this sin, you leave. And in the Greek, in both places, where it says, he who has no sin may cast the first stone, or may throw a stone at her, it actually says, he who has not committed this sin can cast the first stone. And when it says, go and leave your life of sin to the woman, He's telling her, go and don't do this anymore. So He's telling her to leave what she's doing and stop doing that. Not that she's going to leave and sin, never sin again, but she can at least choose and make a choice not to commit this sin anymore. And it's a whole lot easier if you are a follower of Jesus for the Bible or the Holy Spirit, or maybe even someone in the church that you love and care for and respect, to bring something to your mind and say, hey, you know, if the Holy Spirit impresses on you that there's something that you need to either start doing or stop, it's easier to take it from Him than it is from me telling you from the pulpit, stop doing this or start doing that. Because it's okay when God tells me to change. If some other person tells me to change, it's like, what right do you have? But again, we do respect those that God has placed in authority over us. But that's not the way a lot of Christians act. And we need to be honest with ourselves at times, and especially in the church. I really want to say in the past, because I haven't noticed it a whole lot in the recent times. But there was a time in church where you just pretty well knew the rules. You almost knew all the rules. And I think on your notes, I left you a big spot below the places to fill out. And I would challenge you to take your notes home today. And under there where it says the rules, I would challenge you to list all the rules of being a Christian that you know. And some of them are probably from the Bible. And some of them are probably just some things that somebody has decided to tell you. And some of them are probably some very wise words to follow. But it's interesting to figure out where they came from. Things like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, you know, those are easy. You know, and again, God gave us those rules to protect us. Don't steal from somebody because they might get mad and hurt you because you do. Don't commit adultery because if you have sex with some other guy's wife, he's probably going to want to kill you. I mean, those are there to protect and to guide. So, and there's other reasons. But here's a quote from Gandhi. And if you don't know who Gandhi is, Gandhi was a leader of a kind of quasi-religious faith. I'm not sure a whole lot about him. All I really know a lot about Gandhi is that he was passionate about what he believed. He went on a hunger strike at one time, and Ben Kingsley played him in a movie. Okay, so that's kind of what I know about Gandhi. The other thing I know about Gandhi, though, is he made this statement. He was not a Christian. I think he might possibly Hindu or Buddhist. I'm not sure. But this is one of the things he said. I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. That's pretty tough. But that's an outsider looking into our faith and what we say we believe and how we live it out. In the first century, the Bible tells us that when the church moved to Antioch, the people were living like Christ. And so the people there called them Christians. So, you know, I get a little irritated at people right now who call themselves Christians and don't live like Christ. It's easier for me to say a follower or a fan than it is to say they're a Christian. Because if they're not acting like Christ, then are they a quote, Christian? I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying it. But it's one of those things. You know, you can call yourself a football player, but if you never play football, you're not really a football player. And I think as Christians, we really need to ask ourselves, are we trying to be like Christ? God's Word provides both guidance and commandments, and they're there to protect us. But sometimes as Christians, we can be more like the Pharisees and the religious leaders than like our Messiah. And in the end, the rules we use try to rationalize how we treat others in the church, especially newcomers and those whose sins are not as easy to hide as the rest of ours. Because most of us that have come to Christ and come to church for a while and really started trying to follow Jesus, we're not perfect. We still have sins that plague us, temptations that mess with us. But there are others who are not, quote, as far along in their journey as we are, and it almost makes us feel superior. And so we can say, like the publican says, at least I'm not like that person over there. You know, I may not have it all together, but at least I'm still not doing that. And I think Jesus would ask us to say, yeah, maybe you're not doing that, but do you really love me? You know, is it love that's causing your, quote, good behavior, or is it just you following the rules because you've kind of learned how to behave as somebody who says they're a Christian, that they're a Christian? I think a lot of times it happens unintentionally. I don't think we go out there trying to be mean to people. I don't think we try to be holier than thou on purpose. But sometimes it can come off that way. And I think we need to be careful about stressing the rules. But on the other hand, we also don't want to just continue to do things because we, quote, can. I think if you are truly a follower of Christ, that when you sin, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you, and you're going to have the opportunity to confess that sin and receive forgiveness and then keep going. It's only when we've been convicted by sin and we don't ask for forgiveness and we choose to go our own way that we put ourselves in a situation with God that we don't really want to be in. Because I'm not the judge and I'm not the jury, and I'm glad I'm not. But there's times in our lives where we have free will, and as the gentleman in the video was talking about his daughter that walked away, we all have that ability. We don't have to serve God. We can walk away from the fellowship. Does God still love us? Yes. Because the Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But there is stuff that can separate us in our relationship with Christ. And sin will do that. So we need to be careful. There's a book that Max Lucado wrote. I love the book. If you want to borrow it and read it, it's in my library and I can find it for you pretty easy. But the book has a title and it says, God loves you just the way you are. And that is true. We don't have to get our lives right. We don't have to figure out how to follow all the rules so that we can be a follower of Jesus. We don't have to go to church a number of Sundays in a row or start, you know, reading our Bible every day to start our journey with Christ. Because God loves us just the way we are. But in the title of that book, there's a dash, and it says, so the real title of the book is, God loves you just the way you are, but He wants you to be just like Jesus. Because that's what God has given us the Holy Spirit for. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help guide and direct us, to be our helper. To be, as the Greek word says, that paraclete, which is that one that comes alongside and walks with us. And so as God gives us the Holy Spirit, we then will be able to start understand that there are some things that as Christians we should do and some things that we shouldn't do. But when they're packaged as rules, they get cumbersome. So, it's not about the rules. When they're packaged as rules, they get cumbersome. There's too many. I was in seventh grade. I was raised in a pretty strict Christian home. My sister couldn't wear makeup. She couldn't wear jewelry. My mom didn't wear makeup. They didn't wear jewelry. They didn't wear pants. They cut their hair, so we weren't that strict. Some places they don't cut their hair or anything. But as my sister was growing up and she was going to high school, she got tired of always having to wear dresses to school every day and getting, I wouldn't say bullied, but just made fun of a lot. And so she came to my parents one July and she said, it was before her sophomore year of high school, and she said, can I please go to a Christian school? And I was 3 years younger than she was, getting ready to go in seventh grade. And if she was going to go to a Christian school, well, can I go? That was the worst question I ever asked in my life. And they sent me to a Christian school. And you know what there are at Christian schools? There's a bunch of rules. And you couldn't wear, you know, girls couldn't wear pants, and the guys had to wear, they couldn't wear jeans. I had to wear slacks to school for like 3 years until I went to a different Christian school, and they were progressive and they let us wear jeans. But I mean, on Wednesdays you had to wear a shirt and tie because you had to go to chapel. You couldn't go to chapel without a tie on. It was a Baptist school, so I understand why. That's just the way it was. Couldn't listen to rock music because the beat was bad. You can listen to country music. You ever listen to country music and listen to the lyrics in country music? Let me tell you something. I'd rather hear the beat than some of the vocals instead of the lyrics in some of the country songs. But anyway, You see what I'm saying? The rules get really out of hand. And people get exhausted from trying to keep the rules. The problem is you don't like the rules. I didn't like the rules at school because I didn't love the school. I mean, I didn't mind the school. It was a good school and I got a good education. But it wasn't, quote, my favorite thing. When it comes to following Jesus, the rules aren't cumbersome when they're given out of love and protection. When your parent tells you, do not play in the street, they're not telling you that because they want to take all the fun out of growing up. They're telling you that because if you play in the street very long, you're probably going to get hit. Now, as you become a teenager and your parents tell you to go play in the street, you might think about it, okay? What are they actually saying, okay? But, I mean, the basic rule is don't go play in the street. When God gives us 10 commandments that say don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't commit adultery, I mean, when He gives those, it's not that He's trying to be a fun sucker and suck all the fun out of life. He's trying to protect us. And if we understand that, the rules won't seem so cumbersome. Rules don't inspire grace either. I don't know how exactly to say this, but if you give me rules, most likely the reason I'm going to follow those rules is so that I don't get in trouble for not following those rules. And if you grew up in a holiness church or a strict church, you probably, honestly, for a lot of your life, followed the rules, because if you didn't, you were afraid you'd go to hell. It had nothing to do, or very little to do, with the fact that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so the shift, even if some of us older traditional Christians, has to shift and say, the rules don't inspire grace. But the more that we love Christ, the more we understand why He asks us to do some things and asks us not to do others. And that love inspires us to live the way that Christ wants us to. So, quite frankly, a lot of times the fans of Jesus spend their lives carrying around the burden of religion. Okay, so you've got to know, you know, I did not grow up in a liturgical church. Probably the most liturgical church, Protestant-wise, would be Lutheran Church. United Methodist is pretty formal and liturgical. Catholic Church obviously is. And in those churches, there are certain things that you learn and you do just because that's the way we do stuff. And it becomes very religious. And a lot of people don't like that and cannot identify with that. And so it makes them not want to go to church. When we understand that being a Christian is all about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it can change the whole thing. It's kind of like our marriages. Like I said at the beginning, there's a lot of unwritten rules in being married. But there are some that are kind of written. When we get married, we take vows. We say that we're going to be faithful to each other as long as we both shall live. Guys are supposed to provide for their wives to meet their needs. We're supposed to be committed to her for better and for worse. And so we get a little list at the beginning, and then our list gets longer as we live together. And you know there's some things that you should not say to your wife because you love her. And there are things that you should do. You put the toilet seat down. That's a rule, okay? Some places you're supposed to put both of the seats, the cover down too, all right? So you got to know your wife and what she wants. But you do that not because you have to, but because you respect and you love. I'm supposed to. Supposed to? Okay. This is, I'm going to tell myself a little bit here. I should, you know, when you take off your socks, pull them inside out so that your wife doesn't have to do that. I'm not as good as that as I should be. And I get told every once in a while. But sometimes she just doesn't say anything about it. Again, they're little rules. They're not big things. But there's other rules that are real big, and we know them. The thing about it is, following the rules doesn't inspire grace, but doing something for someone that you love because of what they've done for you does inspire grace. And it provides an atmosphere where you don't mind following the rules. In fact, they don't even seem like rules. They just become things that you know God doesn't like, so you don't want to do them because you know it hurts Him. You wouldn't cheat on your wife, not because you can't, or your husband because you can't, but because you know if you did, it would show that you don't love her and that you don't care for her as much as you say you do. So you don't. Again, not because you can't, just because you don't want to. And when it comes to sin and keeping, quote, the rules, that's really the way that I think the follower begins to feel. And most followers don't even think about most of the, quote, rules anymore. And the rules don't keep us around. You know, just like the example in the video that we watched. He raised his daughter in church. He gave her all the rules. He did everything he was supposed to. But sometimes our kids don't get the fact that we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart as the very first rule. That's the greatest command. And if we really, truly love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, all the other rules will just fall in place. Good behavior is a byproduct of loving Jesus. It's not something we do to show that we love Jesus. That's getting things backwards. And as Christians, we must, first and foremost, define Christianity as following Jesus, instead of it being we follow the rules that God set out. If all Christianity is to us is just making sure that we follow the rules, we may follow the rules, but we'll not experience the love and the joy and the grace that God has provided for us. We'll do it out of duty. And we'll do it begrudgingly. And we'll feel like we're missing something. But if we truly decide that we're going to follow Jesus and we're going to love Him with everything that we can, and I believe that our love for God grows and grows. It's kind of like you and your wife or your husband. When you're dating, you'll tell your girlfriend or your boyfriend that you love them. But you really don't. It's just something you say because you want to, you know, quote, prove your relationship. Because it takes a while to really love somebody. And I believe this with all my heart. The person that accepts Jesus and says, okay, today I'm going to start following Jesus, I don't think they love Jesus that day. I think about Peter. Jesus walked along the shore and he sees Peter. Peter has taken notice of him. And Jesus says, follow me. And Peter does. And if the night that Jesus had asked Peter to follow him had been the night that Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and was confronted by the temple guard, and they were about to arrest Jesus, do you think that Peter would have pulled his knife out, cut off the servant's ear, and been willing to lay down his life for Jesus on the first day that he was called? I don't think so. I would have went, your problem, man, not mine. You know? But after 3 years of following Jesus and being with him, Peter was willing to give his life for him. Peter was willing to do anything because he loved him. Not in a romantic love, not in that kind of love, but in a love that says, you are my God. And I'm going to serve you no matter what. And it had nothing to do with Jesus laying down a bunch of rules. It had everything to do with Jesus showing them how to live their lives. So, as we leave today, I just want you to ask yourself this question. And you can put it in any kind of vernacular that you want. But are you following Jesus? Are you following Christ? Or are you just following church? Or are you just following the rules? And if you're just following the rules, more than likely, you won't for very long. You'll give it up. You'll quit coming to church. You'll quit saying that you're a follower. You'll quit saying you're a Christian. And the fact of the matter is, they say this. When people are told that Christianity is about a moral code, most of the time those people leave both church and their moral code behind. They quit doing both. And so we don't want to follow Christ out of duty and just try to follow the rules. It's way more than that. It's all about love. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that you loved us enough to come and die for us. And if you were willing to die for us, then we should be willing to live for you. But more than just live for you by keeping the rules, I pray that you would help us find that love for you. That we would love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That we would choose to love you. That we would choose to learn more about you so that we can follow you closer. So that we would find out the things that you want us to do and the things that you don't want us to do. Not because you're just power hungry and want to set the rules. But you know that if we keep the rules or your commands, they will protect us. They will guide us. They will help us have better lives. Because life lived with you is the best that it can be. It may not be perfect. There will be trouble. But you are never going to leave us. And you're going to be with us through everything that we go through. And we can't have the peace that passes all understanding. Help us to follow you and not follow the rules. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand this morning.